last song was such an invitation. Do you realize, you know, as you sing these choruses, that that was a prayer? What was the prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And so we were praying that, I trust. You realize that as we're doing it. Because the Holy Spirit really wants to take a hold of our lives. When we pastored here, we had a fellow we invited to come, and we just felt it was the Lord that invited him, because I'd never heard of him before. He was from Alberta, and been pastoring there, but evangelist, and we just felt we should have him. We didn't know why, but he came and he spoke on being used in the gifts of this Holy Spirit. And my wife is, I'm just going to speak for about 15 minutes, promise. And my wife then will come and share the second half of the message, but there'll be some prophetic words. And this is where we learned, it was in Cache Creek, about the spiritual gifting and that we're moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this one fellow named Daryl Heppner, he'd come, and in that week, we had a real move of God. And it was tested after. There was different times that there was things that happened over those years that was a test of our faith about the moving of the Holy Spirit and the reality of hearing God's voice and knowing His direction. You know, the greatest thing that happened in my life in ministry, to keep me in the ministry, happened. I was walking to this post office down the road. Now, I don't know if it's still there, the same building, but remember we had to walk from Collins up to get our mail. And I was struggling over something because we had this couple that we were working with in prenatal classes, okay? So this is soon after we came, and this couple that were there in the class with us, we worked with, and they came to know the Lord, and some things happened after. And you know, pastors are called under shepherds. We're not the chief shepherd. We're under shepherds, right? And coming up, and I was worried of Freddie, and I said, I don't know what to do. I wasn't born in a pastor's family or anything, but the Lord said, and you know, I can almost hear the tone of His voice still today. And the Lord said to me, "It's my problem." And I was thinking, you know, it's my problem. I'm the pastor, right? And what we were going through, and it was a misunderstanding and things happening. And, you know, ever since then, though, you know, the church is so special. God created the church. He thought it all up. You and I are sitting here this morning, not by accident, but in the plan of God. But I remember that. And over the years, it's always been comfort to realize, you know, I can only do what God's called me to do. And for all of you, the same thing, right? We can only do what God's called us to do. We can't change other people. I mean, it is hard enough to change ourselves, right? You know, I've often said over the years, you know, there's the same guy that always follows me from church to church. You know, when we left here, that guy followed me to our next church. And then we went, you know, I thought I'd get away from that church, right? Went to the next church. Yeah, it's the old man, right? It's that person that we're meant to leave behind and put to death, and he always tries to get his foot into our lives again, right? And God's so good, and you know, we just meant to do what God has called us to do. You know, Christianity is exciting, isn't it? Like, nobody could have thought about Christianity, like setting up this great salvation plan, except for this loving God. You know, think of all the religions of the world, and, you know, man-made and demonic influenced, right? Every one of them. And religions, really, that aren't so-called religions, right? Like New Age movement and so on. But they're all a way of dealing with the need of man to understand about the reality of why he was created and the existence of man, right? And God, there's a loving God who looked into time and said, I want a people to bless, that I can have to serve me, to love me, because they want to, because it's their choice, okay? And so God made this great salvation plan. We're saved by grace and not by works. You know, every other religion of the world, they're saved by works. You got to do something. You got to be a belong to them and so on, right? I mean, you can be a Christian and not even go to church. But again, church makes sense, doesn't it? Everything about our Christian faith makes sense. This Bible that we hold in our hands this morning, it makes sense. God put it all together, that we'd have something written down, but it's made and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. We go on from salvation and we start talking, say, about all the pictures of God's relationship to his people. Okay, so the church is one of them. Marriage is another. Okay, procreation or evangelism. The list goes on. You know, everything about Christianity, when we think of it, God puts it together. God put it together and we walk in it. Prayer. Prayer is, like, who could have thought about prayer except for God? That he would be so open to have people speak to him, right? And, you know, he's big enough that he could speak to, you know, the 7 billion people on the face of the earth today. God could have a relationship, a personal relationship to every one of them, just as he has to every one of us here this morning. Another part of Christianity that really makes sense is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Really, in a sense, the Holy Spirit comes in us when we are born again. But God wants to, through the Holy Spirit, who is God, take such control of our lives, not to force us to do anything, but to cause us to be more sensitive to knowing his voice, to knowing what he wants us to do, to know what pleases him and what grieves him. It's this walk in his power, walk in his presence, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was meant to do. Okay? You know, there's an estimated 2 billion people on the face of the earth today that believe that the Bible is the inspired, relevant word of God. Okay, so you think Protestants, Catholics. There's about 0.5 billion people, 500 million people, who believe in this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking of the other tongues. Now, that's a credit group. Now, there's certainly, we don't have that percentage in Canada. But you know, practically every other nation in third world, Africa, South America, and so on, the majority of believers are tongue speaking. Because, I mean, they live in a time when and a place where satanic spirits and so on are so there. We don't, so to speak, recognize that in our nation. But in these countries, you know, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of our missionaries that is actually now overlooks the other missionaries of our POC in Africa said, you know, can every other evangelical group in Ethiopia, every church, you say whatever evangelistic church, they all believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit because that's the only way they've made it. The missionaries come over from the United States and Canada, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit because that's what the church is involved in. Because they realize how relevant, how they need that experience in their lives. And I think only God could have thought of this tongues. How a person be so filled with the Holy Spirit that they speak in other tongues as the Spirit leads them and guides them. And that is what I just felt my wife and I, as we prepared to speak on this morning for these few minutes, to realize that the whole early church were Pentecostal. Now, a lot of thought of evangelicals have thought that in three 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea, when the Bible was finalized. It's the 66 books. That is when many theologians think that was the end of tongues, because they didn't need that anymore, because they had the written word then, so they didn't need the vocal word, okay? But tongues can be traced back every century since, and then almost to the date of 1900, okay? In fact, in a Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, a group were praying that night, and a young lady was the first in that new century of the 1900s to speak in another tongue. And that was the beginning of the Assemblies of God in the States, and then up here in Canada with the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles. Tongues can be traced back through every century, and here we are in this century when, again, like almost one half of Protestants speak in tongues or belong to Pentecostal or charismatic churches, believe in this supernatural speaking in tongues. And really what's happened when the Holy Spirit so takes over a person, which we welcome him to do, as the worship team were praying in their, as they're singing this morning, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Lord Jesus, come. When we pray that prayer, that is dangerous to the old man, to our old being. But it's welcoming to this, to the Spirit that is receptive to the things of God in our hearts. Jesus said, Luke 24:49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Now he's saying to these men, and there was, you know, one time 500 even, that saw the resurrected Christ. He said, I want to send you out, but stay first. Don't go yet, but stay. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. See, the difference is, you know, some groups go, they go witnessing, right? It's something we are. We are. A witness is something that we are, day in and day out. In Acts 2, of course, 1-4, when the day of Pentecost came, that's why it was called Pentecostal, okay, they were all together in one place. In verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were all filled, about 120 in that room, they were all filled. And they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Jesus told these well-trained apostles that he had been with for 3 years to wait for the gift. They weren't ready yet. Even though they had seen the resurrected Christ, they weren't ready yet. They needed another experience. They need something more than just good teaching and seeing the risen Christ. They needed more than just salvation. But they needed to stay in Jerusalem until they would receive that power from on high. Why is it so important? Is it just to speak in tongues? No, but with tongues comes this openness to the things of God. With speaking in tongues. Now, you know, I've talked to different ones over the years, many years pastoring, okay? It's been 44 years since we came here, okay? That feel like it's so foolish. But, you know, the world thinks you're foolish because you're born again. Okay, see, they already think you're foolish, right? You might as well add tongues to it because it doesn't hurt anything. But you see, when the devil gives counterfeit, see, he gives counterfeit healings. He gives counterfeit giftings. And he gives counterfeit tongues. What about the man that, you know, Moses went to Pharaoh and he threw down his rod and it became a serpent? What did all those satanic priests do? They threw down their rods and they became serpents also. See, they counterfeited the same thing, didn't they? What was the difference? Moses' rod ate up all the others. His snake ate the rest of them up. Like, things like that happen throughout the word, okay? Just gives a picture. The satanic warfare that we're in, even in Canada, even in Salmon Arm, BC, or Enderby, BC, where we live now, or in Cache Creek. We're in this warfare. We need all the power we can get. We need all the blessing, the anointing on our lives, because God can do things that we can't do. We can talk somebody, so to speak, into getting saved, but it's just something that they talk to. They can talk themselves out of it after, right? But when the Holy Spirit's moving, it is the Holy Spirit's work. And he said, when the Lord spoke to me walking up to the post office here 45 years ago, it is my problem. You know, really, how God can use us. The more we're open to him, the more powerful we are. The word alone is not enough. They needed the power also. Many people just stand on God's words, so they say, right? But, you know, if someone talks about you standing on God's word, and they ignore salvation even, or they ignore the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the list goes on, they're not standing on the word. They think they are, so to speak, in the amount that they want to believe. But may we be open to completely stand on the word. This is divine power. The purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is for greater power, greater anointing to do the work of God. That's why he wants us filled. So we are more sensitive to him, that we may know his direction, we can be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can walk in the word of knowledge. Someone's speaking to us and all of a sudden, you know, we know what they're saying is not what they're really thinking, right? Like they're just skirting the issue. And through the word of wisdom, you can respond back to them what they really need. Right? And that is what people are looking for. They're looking for truth. We think of what happened to the Christians in Acts. That they could even speak. It's a Holy Spirit move that day. The thing was, they were open to whatever God would do. And what he decided to do, he gave them that tongues. We'll come into why tongues in just a moment. Tongues is a very useful gift, especially in prayer. Because when you're praying, you're not understanding what you're saying necessarily, but it's the Holy Spirit working through you and speaking. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. I would imagine a number of us, I know I was, speaking in tongues already during this service this morning, just under my breath, right? Just quietly. But you see, when you're being open to the Holy Spirit and sensitive, it's so easy to just flow out in tongues. You can control it, okay? But it's the Holy Spirit speaking, you working in your vocal cords. And Jude 1:20, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Like letting God control your tongue, okay? Dr. David Lim was one of our professors at our Bible College, which is now Summit Pacific College in Abbotsford. But when the college was in North Vancouver, he wrote, speaking in tongues is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit which enables the one possessing this gift to speak in languages he has not learned and which, at the same time of speaking, are not understood by him. 1 Corinthians 14:14 teaches that while one is speaking in tongues, the conscious mind is bypassed. The understanding is unfruitful. it says. Religious feeling and activities such as prayer take their rise in the spirit. Normally, they pass upwards into conception and expression through the intellect. In speaking with tongues, however, inspired expression is given to these spiritual ebullitions before they reach the higher mental processes. This direct operation of the Holy Spirit on the speech organs through the channel of the human spirit gives to speaking with tongues its characteristic energy. So it's not something we think. When you're speaking in tongues, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not thinking about what's coming next. The syllables are just flowing. The words are flowing. It's complete freedom. No control. It is just complete freedom in tongues coming. And it's syllables. It's, if you ever want to read a good book, read They Speak With Other Tongues by John Sherrill. And he was agnostic who put out just a tape machine and taping people speaking in tongues. He'd go to a Pentecostal service that people speak in tongues. He'd record them. Then he'll go to people who he definitely knew were making it up, right? And then he went to speech specialists and ones who understood languages, and they could pick out exactly every one that spoke by Pentecostal believers. He said, this is a language, and they could say what language it was on the face of the earth, or they would say, this is a language, but I'd never heard it before, but it sounds like some dialect of so-and-so, right? Anyway, Karl Brumbeck was one of the most noted Pentecostal theologians in the last century. He was born in 1917, which is actually the constitutional year that Canadian Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada began the first time. And he, in all his life of ministry, wrote down what he figured, and this is quite an interesting list, 7 reasons why God chose tongues. You know, there's always reasons, right? But this is what he found, like, what is it about tongues that makes sense? And this list is impressive. Number one, it's a good external evidence of an inward spiritual experience. Number two, it's a uniform evidence because tongues are recognized by all people. Number three, it shows the personality of the Holy Spirit. Right? A person speaks in a language. Well, so does the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized Holy Spirit, and it overflows, coming out in tongues. It manifests, number four, the Holy Spirit as the believer's source of truth and utterance. And I trust, you know, part of everybody here has had an experience of sharing your faith, and you're saying, boy, that, where did that come from? I just, you know, it just felt like miraculous. We just felt we knew what to say and when to say it, right? Number five, it's a symbol of the Spirit's control over the believer. James 3:8. You might know what it says. James, this was a favorite topic of James. How controllable is the tongue? It says fire, it is uncontrollable. James 3:8, the tongue is impossible to tame. We can tame every other member of our body, but the tongue, it is the hardest thing we get to control. Like, it is so impossible. Every day we party blow it, right? Every day we say something wrong. And we wish we could kick ourselves, but it's pretty impossible. But it is. And what does the Holy Spirit, what has God chosen to take as this eternal evidence of an inward experience? He chose to take the tongue. The tongue, as the word says, no man can tame. And God takes the tongue. He doesn't take your right arm and have a flap or your leg kick, right? Where you start shuddering every time the Holy Spirit's moving, right? He just said that the tongues just flows out of a person. I like that. Number six, it signifies the honor God has placed upon a human speech. The tongue preaches the gospel. With your tongue, you share the gospel. And with your tongue, as this morning, you are vocally singing and praising God, right? And so why not in tongues as well? When we're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit working through us, and there is complete freedom. We're praying exactly what God wants us to pray. Even though we may not be understanding what we're praying, God is moving. God doesn't play with us. He's serious about his relationship with us. And seventh, it's a foretaste of heavenly speech. There's only going to be one language in heaven. We're all going to understand each other. Now, if we take the world sense, it would probably be we'd all speak Cantonese. Because I think the other language, Cantonese or Mandarin. There's a majority of the world, more than English is spoken, right? But in heaven, we're all going to have the same language. We're going to understand each other and so on. And it's going to be miraculous, right? So in heaven, as we have a miraculous new body, we're going to speak miraculously. I just, before my wife comes, just share quick. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I went to Bible school. And, you know, I went there. I grew up in Armstrong, B.C., okay? And my family still lives there. But I went to Bible school. I sold my motorcycle. I had just enough money for one term of Bible school because I wanted to find out if Christianity was really true and relevant. Because I had grown up in church for quite a number of years since my dad got saved through Oral Roberts. And I just said, that's worth it. So I sold my new bike, my road bike, and had enough money for one term at Bible college. And I was going to find out if Christianity was relevant, if it was real. If it was, that's great. It was worth the experience for 4 months, okay? So I went there in 2 days. The Holy Spirit so moved on me, I got saved. I knew it was relevant because moving the Holy Spirit. The next month, I was water baptized. And the month after, in a service in the chapel, I just felt the Holy Spirit move on me. And I knew about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what it was. But, you know, I wanted more of God. Instead of going to my next class, good excuses, Eddie, I went down to the men's prayer room in the men's wing of the dorms. And I said, God, okay, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If it's real, God, I want it. If you say it's a gift, then it's for me. So I want to take it. And I prayed. And, you know, there was one syllable. I had one syllable. I said, God, that's you. I'm sure. I've got to believe it's you because you don't play with this. You wouldn't play with me like that. If I want you, well, the next day, I got to go back. So I took an empty period this time, went back to the men's chapel. I was the only one in that little room. And I got another syllable. So I had two syllables running together now. Now, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you probably didn't have experience like this. But you know, the next morning then, I went back again, and I had a couple more. And so here I was, and when I said these syllables, it wasn't something I put together or anything like that. It was just this freedom in saying something so minute. And the fourth day was more. By the fifth day, I was so speaking in tongues. I just loved it. I was freedom. Like some people are afraid you might say swear words. You don't. Okay. It was so beautiful. It was so freeing. And that was 48 years ago. And I haven't stopped since. You know, I think every day, practically every day over all those years and decades, I've spoken in tongues. And I was saying that this morning. Because we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when God so takes over our lives, even that most unruly member of our body will speak in tongues. And in that freedom, in that prayer language, 1 Corinthians 14, read the whole chapter, okay? It speaks about that prayer language in which we express freedom and anointing in praying in the Holy Spirit. My wife is going to come at this time and share for a bit, and then we'll invite you to prayer and to the fellowship and whatever. So, Joan?
Thank you. I too am excited to be here, and we've been kind of looking forward to this, actually, like since Pastor Scott asked us to come. And but I'm going to add to what Ken had said, because this Holy Spirit experience is life-changing. I've seen it for myself. I've prayed for a lot of people in our living room usually, and because I do counseling, and usually I have to end with that counseling session with, you need to serve God. You really need to have this experience, because it'll keep you going. And I've seen a lot of people change. And with Ken, what he just said, I asked his mother, I said, did you notice a change in your son when he came home for Christmas? And she said, oh, he was a new person. Yeah, it really changed his life. And, she couldn't believe what God did for her son. They prayed him there, but he did change. And so the baptism in the Holy Spirit is empowering and life-changing. For example, a person could be weak and ineffective as a Christian, but when they receive the baptism, they are immersed in the Holy Spirit, and they can't help but change. The Holy Spirit gave me power to serve God in a home. We're just talking with you, and, my whole family was backslidden, and I was kind of, we lived across the street from a Pentecostal church, right? And my mom and dad were so under conviction, but, I had to choose, okay, am I going to serve God or not? So I was all alone. And at one point, my husband was talking to me, and he gave me this compliment, but really I didn't think it was a good compliment, right? But he said to me, oh, I'm so glad that you were so stubborn. And I thought, what was he saying I was stubborn for? But he said, I wouldn't have been able to marry you. I wouldn't have been able to go with you if you wouldn't have been stubborn to stay with God. And, to have God fill your life and call you into the ministry. And so I'm thankful that God gave me the tenacity early that I could keep on keeping on, and to choose God. Praise the Lord. At 13, I had that tenacity, and he called me in the ministry at that age as well. And I look back, was it worth it? Yes, I will never look back. My parents did come back to God when I was in Bible college. So I know the power of the Holy Spirit had a real way to change my life and to keep me serving God. But that's enough about me. But the experience of speaking in tongues is the same today as it was in Acts. And I love that book of Acts. It's exciting. And speaking in tongues is a supernatural experience, and it's instantaneous. At the moment that he or she starts to speak out in other tongues, as the New Testament believers did, it's instant, right? The experience is strictly a personal one between that person and God. And tongues are important, but we never should just ask for that language. ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with overflowing, and with tongues, the tongues will follow. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he fills us according to our personalities. Sometimes he comes calmly, and sometimes it's more forceful. And usually when the Holy Spirit's worked on my life, he's had to tell me something, and I'm not quick to want to do it. But, you know, when I finally do it, it's worth my effort. And God will just help me. And he might be a bit more forceful with me than my husband. He just was so calm and, you know, getting filled that way. And I was at camp, and I remember saying to my Sunday school teacher, would you pray with me to get filled? Because I was about 12 years old at that point. And she said, I said, I can't go back to my house. Remember, my family was such a, like a volcano, right? And she said, oh yes, Joan, I'll stay with you. And man, the Lord just filled me to overflowing and gave me a lot of language. But I needed that strength to serve God in my family life, okay? And I'm so thankful that I did that. God's no respecter of persons. He loves you and desires his gift for you. And we need to pray that God's will be done in our lives. God will give you this special gift. It's your job to be sincere and ready to accept this gift by faith and be obedient and be ready to receive it, okay? Because it's for you. Just like Ken, he had to receive it. He had to think, okay, if it's a gift, I want to take it. And there's three words that might help you receive what God has for you this morning. Number one is relax. Receive. And respond. And relax. You need to relax physically. And this will help you relax emotionally. Get comfortable. You're in the hands of Jesus. Number two is receive. You need to ask Jesus to baptize you. Ask in faith. You don't have to beg. You don't have to shout. You don't have to moan. Jesus is here and he hears your prayers. All you have to do is believe that. And the last one is respond, okay? Now that you're responding and praising and thanking Jesus as you're praying for this baptism, English won't be enough. And those words will come to you. They will, I promise you. Your mouth might tend to become full, and you could feel your tongue being a little bit thick, kind of like a little bit thirsty all of a sudden, right? And your language will be right there. And what you need to do next is to have faith and begin to speak those syllables, even if they, to me, it's like, you know, teaching your little kids to talk. You know, they talk baby talk and not clear, and that's kind of the way the beginning of speaking tongues is. It's almost like you really can't think about it too much, because it's got to, as Ken said, it has to bypass your mind to your soul, right? And you have to just in faith, begin to say those syllables, even if they sound a little bit weird. Ken covered that part. I've prayed for people, and they said to me, well, I might swear. I said, you will never swear, because this is a holy place, and God won't allow you to swear. And blaspheme in his presence. And so you have to do it all in faith, okay? And that's what I wanted to share with you. So mine was the how-to, okay? Praying for this group. I should go back to what Ken said about that fellow in Cache Creek that came to our church, and he was giving words of knowledge like I'm going to give now to you. And he said, there's somebody here that hasn't spoken in tongues for years, and for a couple years, and they're going to, they have to be obedient right now and give a message in tongues in front of this congregation. And that was me, and it just hit me like a bomb. And I couldn't even remember my language at that point to other than to give a message in tongues. And he said, it will be interpreted, so don't worry about it. I had to be obedient. It just kind of really, I shook all over, and I thought, how could I have let that language that I needed so badly when I was a kid? Do you know what, I went to Bible college and everything, and I don't know how it got away from me, but if you don't practice that gifting, it will kind of go away a little bit. So you got to kind of keep on speaking in tongues.
This is a time the Holy Spirit will want to can touch you in prayer. So, and if you don't come up for prayer, it doesn't mean you're not spiritual like anybody else, okay? You may not feel it's this time or whatever, but the big thing is just continue to let the Holy Spirit work in your life the rest of today and this coming week, right? Just as the worship team led us in, come Holy Spirit, come. May that be your prayer. May that be your prayer every day. It is mine, ours, every day. That's our prayer. Holy Spirit, work in me today what you want to do.